Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub online.
Okay, up next we've had number one with we, and now we've got number two with poo. Yes, we intentionally did that. Laura Eggle is the poop detective.
Now, if there's any fact checkers here today, I'm not actually a poo detective. I'm a biomedical scientist that sometimes works with poo. But I came across the term poop detective when I was reading my daughter Ivy the fantastic book, The Great Poo Mystery, where, of course, the hero is a poop detective. Yes, we don't really read fairy stories in our house, no matter how much Ivy begs me. So I work in Glasgow Royal Infirmary. That's me in the box there. This is a large microbiology lab where we process tens of thousands of samples every year. Sample types include urines, lots of swab samples such as wounds, eyes, ears, nose, every orifice you can possibly imagine we swab, even buttholes. And we also have what we call precious samples. Now, these are samples that are difficult to obtain or to repeat, such as tissue samples or lumbar punctures. And then, of course, we have stool samples, or, if I'm going to use the correct Scottish nomenclature, jobbies. So what do we do with all these samples? We're looking for bacterial pathogens. Now, pathogens are bacteria that shouldn't be there, and they're causing trouble. Now, some samples should contain no bacteria. They should be sterile, such as the precious sample. In that case, any bacteria isolated is a potential pathogen. Other swabs, they'll contain background bacteria, the bacteria that grows on our skin. We just ignore that. We're looking for pathogens. And then we have the dirty little turds. Now, 1 gram of poo contains up to 1 trillion bacteria. So how on earth are we going to isolate a single pathogen? When we're looking, when we're processing these samples, we're trying to isolate the target organisms, the pathogens, and suppress the normal bacteria flora. To do this, we use agar plates. Now, these are plastic disposable petri dishes that contain gel for the bacteria to grow on. We use a lot of different types of agar plates depending on what type of organisms we're looking for, what type of sample it is. And we have 3 main types of agar plates. We've got nutrient agar, we've got selective agar, and we have differential agar. Nutrient agar contains additives that actively encourages the growth of potentially fastidious, fussy organisms. Potentially, they're in very small numbers. We use selective agar on dirtier samples. These contain components such as antibiotics that suppresses some bacteria while actively encouraging the growth of other bacteria. And then we have differential agar. Differential agar, it takes advantage of biochemical components of some of the target organisms, resulting in a colour change when these organisms grow. Differential agar can also be used to make some awesome artwork. This is from the American Society of Microbiology's annual agar art competition. Now, agar plates can be both differential and selective, which is really important when we're trying to isolate potential poopy pathogens, to separate the goodies from the baddies. So why do we look at stool samples? We look at stool samples when there's potential infective gastroenteritis. This is when the patient has a bad case of the runs with potential vomiting, usually as a result of the consumption of infected food or drink. Now, I cannot do this presentation without paying homage to the Bristol stool chart. Now, this is a diagnostic tool that differentiates stools into 7 different types depending on their consistency, with type 1 being hard little pellets and type 7 being completely liquid, a poop soup. Now, a nice satisfying stool would be a 3 to 4, and anything over 5 would be classed as diarrhoea. Now, the stool chart has captured the imagination of many a nurse and lab staff out there, and it's been immortalised into embroidery and to some cakes with some fantastic use of chocolate. Now, when we're looking for bacteria, sorry, we want a picture. Now, to carry out our investigations to find our potential poopy perpetrators, we go to the interrogation room, the enteric section. Now, this is where shit goes down. Now, we can't possibly look for all the potential causes of infective gastroenteritis, so we concentrate on the 4 main suspects. We've got Campylobacter, Salmonella, Shigella, and E. coli 0157. Now, this isn't to be confused with the normal E. coli that lives in our gut and kindly produces us vitamin K in exchange for room and board. No, I'm talking about its evil toxin-producing twin, twisted serial killer, Jack the Shitter. Now, Scotland holds the dubious record for one of the worst outbreaks of 0157 from a butcher shop in Wishaw. In 1996, 21 people died and 100 more were affected. Still, probably not the worst food you can get in Scotland. So, now, to process these samples, we use a type 2 safety cabinet. We don't use this for health and safety reasons, but it means we don't have to smell the sample as we're opening it. We take a small pea-sized amount and we inoculate 4 types of agar plates. If you're particularly unlucky, a build-up of gas can cause a volcanic-like eruption when you open the container, like Pompu. So, Campylobacter is our most common criminal baddie. It hides out in poultry. It's more common during barbecue season. And to isolate it, we use a black agar that contains charcoal. It's a very motile agar, so it spreads across the plates, kind of like looks like a pool of water. We incubate it at 42 degrees Celsius, which is higher than most plates that we incubate, because we usually incubate them at 37 degrees because that's normal body temperature. But Campylobacter can grow at higher temperatures, so that means it suppresses the growth of the normal bacteria that normally grows at 37 degrees. Now, Salmonella needs no introduction. It's one of the most common types of, most well-known types of infection. It's linked to undercooked poultry and eggs. Now, eggs in the UK are actually, comes from chicken that are vaccinated against Salmonella. So the incidence of getting Salmonella from raw eggs is actually really low in the UK. Though we do have a lot of autistic chickens. So now, we use selective agar so the bacteria grows a nice purple colour. The Shigella is small and mighty, and less as few as 10 bacteria can cause infection, which is crazy. We don't get many cases in the lab, though it is linked to outbreaks as in nurseries, places where there's low hygiene. The agarn that we use takes advantage of, it differentiates the bacteria depending on their eating habits. Bacteria that ferment lactose turn yellow. Shigella doesn't, so it remains a nice pink colour. E. coli 0157, as I mentioned earlier, is potentially very lethal, mainly to kids and older people, and it's linked to bloody diarrhoea. And we differentiate it from other E. coli as it doesn't ferment the sugar sorbitol, so it means a translucent colour. Okay, so now once we've isolated...
No, absolutely not. Your time's up.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Oh. We've got to be strict.
Is that not sync up with the clothes?
Sorry, I forgot all about my wee pro. Sorry.
Fantastic. Okay, so we have our first question of the day from Igor. And he asks, how fresh the product needs to be for your detective abilities to work? Can you get something interesting from older, not quite corporalites?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's ideal to have fresher samples, the better, so there's not, they don't grow wild. But yeah, we don't reject samples no matter how old they are, but they might not be as likely to isolate our targets because they're overgrown by the normal gut flora. We're less likely to see them.
Lovely. And our next question is anonymous. They ask, how do you end up getting into this line of work? Were you always passionate about poo?
Yes. Yeah, I'm one of these people that I've never outgrown my love of poo. I like actively encourage it on my daughter. I'm like, oh, Ivy, look at this. She's like, go away, mummy. I just want to play with my dolls.
Well, following on from that question, Anonymous asks, is Ivy going to follow in your poopy footsteps?
I hope so.
Okay, and this is more of a comment, not a question, which we would usually boo, but Anonymous says we want to hear a full 1 hour talk from the poo detective.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more sceptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server. Music in this episode was provided by Thula Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.